Welcome back to the Adam Schefter podcast as we wrap up week six and look ahead to a big week seven in the National Football League, where Monday Night Football will be in Foxborough for the Bears at the Patriots, and another Manning cast will be on featuring Eli Manning, who will be our guest today to talk about his unexpected direction in his career, where he's become something of a media mogul, and half of the Manning cast team on Monday night that will be broadcasting on ESPN2. The Manning cast will be on week 8, Bengals at the Browns, week 9, Ravens at the Saints, week 13, Saints at the Buccaneers, week 14, Patriots at the Cardinals, week 15, Rams at Packers, and of course, wild card weekend. So get the Manning cast on ESPN2, where Eli Manning has shined there and shines on this podcast today. Take a listen to him. Also, how about what's going on in the state of New York? Lots of interesting things. The two New York football teams, the Giants and Jets, are a combined 9-3 at this point in the season. Who would have thought that the New York Giants would be where they are? And who would have thought that the New York Jets would win back-to-back road games at Pittsburgh, at Green Bay, now on the way to Denver? And what kind of odds could you have gotten at the beginning of the season that the Jets would win 3 straight road games in Pittsburgh, Green Bay, and Denver? Crazy to think about, but that's where the New York Jets are. And also in New York, Buffalo. Buffalo goes into Kansas City with a huge win. Buffalo becomes the favorite, the number one seed favorite in the AFC to host the AFC championship game. Now, who wants to go into Buffalo in January to try to beat the Bills? Good luck with that. That team is loaded. It's playing great football. It's going to continue to get better as the season goes on. They've added Von Miller to complement the defense to make changing plays as he has throughout the course of the season. And they're loaded on defense, loaded on offense, have the quarterback that's playing the best in the league right now. And certainly somebody could go into Buffalo and win, but it's hard to imagine that the Bills won't be favored to make it to the Super Bowl this year as the number one seed, which they now have the inside track of doing. I know it's early. 6 games. I've seen enough. The Bills are loaded. I believe they'll be the number one seed, and somebody's going to have to go into Buffalo to beat the Bills. And also in New York this week, the NFL owners meetings, which they could turn into their own reality show. It would be the real owners of the National Football League. They go at each other on and on. Who would have thought this week that Jim Irsay, the Colts owner, would become the first owner to come out and speak about the potential ouster of the Washington Commanders' embattled owner, Daniel Snyder? But there he was, Jim Irsay, not caring about any skeletons in his closet, coming out and talking about the idea of potentially getting rid of Dan Snyder in Washington. Big statement for an owner to make. No one had done that publicly. Jim Irsay shines a spotlight on it. And really, I think in the end, it's going to come down to the report that Mary Jo White issues here whenever she does about what she finds in her investigation of the Commanders organization. But if there's some damning evidence in there, the calls that Jim Irsay made on Tuesday are only going to increase. And now that he's shined a spotlight on it, it may happen anyway. And then, of course, you have, as reported by Seth Wickersham and Don Van Natta, Jerry Jones cursing out Robert Kraft, going at it with him, battling over the pay of Roger Goodell. Like, this is crazy stuff. Owners going at owners. Again, the real owners of the National Football League putting on a show also in New York this week. And one other guy also gave us a show, though he's in Jersey and we're in New York as we record this, and that is the former New York Giants quarterback, Eli Manning, the man that is now half the team on the Monday Night Manning cast that has shined and opened eyes in the media world since its inception last year. The former quarterback of the New York Giants, the former Ole Miss quarterback, the uncle of one Arch Manning, Eli Manning. There he is.
What's going on?
How are you?
I'm well. Yourself?
Is it okay to introduce you as the media mogul, Eli Manning, rather than the former New York Giants quarterback, Eli Manning?
It is not. That is not okay.
Like, wait, when did that happen, Eli? When did you become this guy who was going to become this major media figure that you've now become.
It was not the game plan. It was actually the total opposite. When I retired, I said, I have zero interest to get into broadcasting. I don't want to do it. I would be horrible at it. So don't even bring it to my attention. Like, don't even pursue it in any way. And so I don't consider myself a broadcaster. I'm just, you know, sitting on my couch making fun of Peyton.
So what happened to change this game plan of yours not to be involved in the sport in the way that you now are?
Well, they said, here's an idea. You want to just sit on your couch, watch a little football, make fun of your brother, and you basically do it every other week. You don't even have to do it 10 games. I'm like, well, that's even for my Ole Miss education, that sounds like a good deal. I know a good deal when I see it. So it all worked out.
And what has been your perception to the new job that you have now taken on?
I've enjoyed it. And I think I'm doing, just doing projects that I truly enjoy and I like, and doing places where it's about college football and the history of college football, and just it gets to reflect on my time in college and talk to other, athletes and football players and coaches that I've grown up watching or had seen their games or have personal relationships with, which is exciting. And then, doing the Monday Night Football, it keeps me in the game of football. It keeps me preparing and watching film and getting to talk with coaches and current players and, in the preparation to for the upcoming games, and also to get to have some fun interviews and talk with other people and get to hear their stories about why they love the game of football.
So how much preparation does go into a typical Monday night Manning cast, Eli?
It's enough where I like the weeks off when I don't have a game, because it's just you got to plan your week a little bit, and you have to watch film. And so it's different. Let's say you say, I'm going to watch one game, but that's one game of, Chicago's offense and a game of their defense. And it's a game of New England's offense and their defense. So it's like watching four games just to get, one game watched. And so a lot of it, is listening to some voicemails. I have, Peyton will watch maybe a different game, so he'll give his analysis, and I'll kind of, just listen to that. We speak the same football language, so that helps. I have Kevin Gilbride, my old offensive coordinator, breaks down the films also and gives some analysis. So I think, you're kind of listening to these calls or having talks with them and trying to kind of get a grasp of what they're doing offensively or why they might be doing things or getting someone else's kind of approach, and it helps with all the preparation and helps with the time. And then having a production meeting, Peyton and I get on the phone a good bit. And so it keeps us close, but maybe also good that we don't go every week. If we had to do this every week, I had to see him every Monday and talk to him, several times during the week, every week, we might not be, very close after a full season.
but you like it enough that it keeps you involved, but you don't need to do it. Like, you could do anything you want with your life at this point in time. So where do you see this all going, Eli? Do you want to keep doing this? Would you rather go into the business world? Would you rather do something else, whatever it may be, whatever you envisioned back when you were retiring as the quarterback of the Giants?
When I retired, I really didn't know what I wanted to do exactly. And the game plan was, I'm going to take a year off and I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to, have a ton of conversations to see every option. I said, the worst thing I could possibly do is retire. And then 2 months later, I'm doing something. And then 3 months after that, I'm like, why am I doing this? I don't like this. And yeah. So I think I was very, very picky and specific with what I wanted to do. And you kind of start doing one thing and it's led to other opportunities. And I start doing, I think Peyton creating his own production company has kept me extremely busy. I didn't know that was, in the game plan also. But I think I'm all doing all projects that I truly enjoy and I like. And so it is just trying to find, find that balance of what's too much, what's too busy, how much, the good thing is my weekends are free. It's Monday Night Football. I have four kids. I want to be at their sporting events and their games, but it has gotten busy, and it's different busy than when you play football. Like, you know, I was gone every single day, you know, when I was playing football, and you know your schedule. Like, the schedule is the exact same, basically, from August 1st right. to February. This one, it's like I'm just as busy, maybe less busy, and from the time I'm a home more, but every day is different. It's like, you might have to travel. You might have to go here. You're like, you can do multiple things every day, and like you're constantly scheduling things, setting up Zooms. Can you do this? This time works. It doesn't work. It was much easier when I could just say, no, I can't do that. I have practice. That was like my standard my standard answer for 16 years, and I don't have that. I don't have the easy out anymore.
But this has really morphed into a lot of different things, like you doing your own shows on ESPN Plus, you doing the Manning cast, you showing up as Chad Powers. There are all sorts of crazy things that this has taken on that I never would have imagined that, like I said, you would grow into the media mogul that you have.
Again, I blame – it's all Peyton's fault. It's just it's the production company. I mean, everything – he's keeping me busy. And it gave me I didn't see this coming either. This is not the master plan when I retire, saying, hey, I'm going to dress up in an outfit and go try out for some college teams, and we'll film it and create some story with Chad Powers. It was just all you know, there's just got to, it just started. I was doing nothing. I was taking my year off. COVID was hit. There was nothing going on in the world. And Peyton says, hey, do you want to do a show about college football and go around to some college towns and interview, you know, some coaches and, or players. I said, yeah, that sounds fun. I like, you know, I'm a big fan of college football. I know a lot of these coaches and people, competed against some and have been around them. I said, it sounds like a fun project. And, you know, next thing you know, I have a mustache and long hair and an accent, and I'm making up lies about who this guy is and throwing the 19-year-old kids trying to make a football team.
Where did the Chad Powers idea come from? Was that yours? Was that Peyton? Somebody else's?
Yeah, just the, you know, the team with, you know, ESPN and NFL Films and Omaha just coming together. You know, we wanted to do a show on walk-ons and just the importance of walk-ons in college football. And, you know, we for that show, we interviewed Stetson Bennett from Georgia, really the first, you know, walk-on quarterback to win a national championship, and interviewed him. And then we in the research found that Penn State still does two walk-on days for students or whoever to come try to make the team. And they call it, you know, they run on to the team. And so, you know, and kind of discovering that and how to do something, they say, well, maybe you can try out and we can go in disguise and kind of go Mission Impossible Tom Cruise face. And so went to Coach Franklin, and he was into it. He liked the idea. And from there, everything just happened.
It came off great. It was really fantastic to watch the whole thing, Eli. Very funny.
It was fun. And I think it worked well because at one point, the guy, you know, Dan O'Brien, who was the quarterback coach that day, like, he's looking at me. He's like, something's not right with this guy, and I want to find out what it is. So he was asking me all these questions, and it let me just make – I was just making up everything, just making up just the most absurd things I could think of, and you know, it just kept going on. And I was calling him Danny Boy, and I was telling him how I was gonna read this play. Hey, I'm gonna, you know, we gotta come back to the right. I'm like, Danny Boy, I'm gonna read this like seam sluggo. I'm gonna go a little three pump to the left, get back to my seam. I'm gonna go back to the comeback. He's like, okay, Chad, like, well, you know, what not? It's your world. Just like, let's see it. You know, let's go at it. And so he's like, who is this guy? What in the world's going on? And so he kept, you know, kind of digging into, you know, where I came from and where I learned this. And it kind of made it fun.
It's taken on a little bit of life its own. Have people kind of said stuff to you about it that have surprised you?
I've gotten called Chad more in the last, you know, 2 weeks, and I have been called Eli from, you know, fans or just walking down the street or anything. I'm going to Penn State. I'm going to the Whiteout game this weekend and get to, you know, check it out. They might put like a statue of me of Chad there. I feel like he's like the new celebrity, and I'm sure it'll be a popular Halloween costume around Penn State this weekend.
Are you going to play quarterback? Why are you going there?
I'm going to the game. Just, you know, I was invited to go. I've never been to you know, Beaver Stadium and watch the game. And so it's just kind of on one of those checklists. So got the invite to go and check out the Whiteout game. And I feel like I'm, you know, Penn State's become my Northeast team. It's like I've been adopted into that family.
How do you like going to games as opposed to watching them on TV?
I like going to games, and I go to every Giants home game. I went to London and saw them a few weeks ago, but I bring my kids to the games and I'm into it. I'm a fan, and I like watching Saturdays and Sundays. I still watch college football. I still watch NFL football and get to root for the Giants and root for Ole Miss every week. So, you know, it's been fun. It's been fun this year. The Giants are playing well. They're winning games. So kind of get to, you know, be in the crowd and, hey, give high fives and root for the guys. So, you know, you still feel, just because they're still, you know, teammates that I play with that are still on the team. So you're rooting for those guys and you know, get to see them after the game for a second and give them a handshake and tell them good game is a fun feeling.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, we're big fans of BetterHelp and all the ways it can help people with their mental health. And this year has gone quickly. And so I'd like you to think about something that you're proud of in 2024 so far. Think about what you would be proud of. What's something you still want to accomplish this year? And when life goes fast, it's important to take a moment to celebrate those wins. And therapy can help you take stock of your progress and set achievable goals for the next 6 months, for the rest of the year, so you can look back on the rest of the year the way that you have this past year to know that it went the way that you wanted. And therapy is helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who have experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, I urge you, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. So take a moment for you. Take a moment. Visit BetterHelp.com/Adam today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Adam. You live in New Jersey, so you're around this area. I live in New York. The area seems to have a certain buzz during football season that it hasn't had in recent years. The Jets and Giants combined, they're 9-3. We don't ordinarily see this. What has been the biggest difference in your former team? Because they've come to life in a way that not a lot of people expected.
Yeah, they're able to win those close games that for the last feels like 5 years, we never won. Like, you always like play so good and find a way to lose it at the end, or just not make a critical play, or just screw it up somehow. And now it's like their level play is the best in the fourth quarter. And that's fun to see. I mean, last week with the Ravens, down 20-10 and all of a sudden, scoring, getting a turnover, getting a sack fumble at the end, you're getting the rookies kind of coming up and making plays in critical times. So it's exciting football. You're just kind of watching and say, hey, let's just try to keep it close in the first half just so we can make the run in the fourth quarter. And you're like, well, it's not going to work all the time, but it's kind of working more than it's not. The Dallas game didn't quite work out that way, but they're at least, hey, they're in every game, and that's what you want. You want to be in every game in the fourth, and then hopefully that's when you play your best football, and that's what they're doing.
And don't you do some work for the Giants as well, Eli? Because I know there's not enough on your table right now, your plate right now.
Well, I do that. So you kind of I have a title there. It's so long that I can't even remember the name of it. It's like, in partnership and sponsors. And I've figured out in the business world, like, the longer your title, the least important you are to the team or to the company. So CEO, very short, very powerful. President, short, powerful. Mine, way down. So I do, just do a lot, go into the games, they have sponsors and you shake hands and take pictures. I do a little show with Sean O'Hara for the Giants. Another TV, more stuff there. So when I signed on to do that, I was doing no other TV. That was like, all right, this would be my one little TV show. And then, you know, 6 months later, I'm on three shows, but it's, hey, I need the practice. I'm not very good at it. Make a lot of mistakes. So it keeps me fresh.
You know what? Chris Mortensen and I have been doing this thing together now for, I think, 13 years. And my title is Senior NFL Insider, which is kind of long, which means I'm kind of irrelevant. I always say that Mort's the very senior NFL insider.
Extremely senior.
Extremely senior. Would you have any interest in replacing him, knocking him off, and adding another TV show to your resume? Because I'd love to have you as an insider. I'd love to get rid of Mort. We could kind of put him out to pasture, and it would work out very well.
Perfect. You know, I got to get a cell phone and get all the GM's numbers and like always be on and ready for trades. I've been watching. I see how y'all do it. I see how you work. I've been studying it and mimicking and acting it out. So I think I'm ready. I'm ready.
The job has changed over the years. You know, it's taken on a life of its own. It's gotten it's gotten a little bit unruly, I have to say. So I'm interested now in making the transition to becoming a walk-on quarterback or a, you know, somebody in sponsorships with the Giants. I could do that. I would definitely do that, except that would be awful. Awful. It would be terrible. When you're at these games and you're watching today's quarterbacks, what is the biggest thing that strikes you in today's quarterback compared to when you played? Not that it was that long ago.
Yeah, I mean, I think just the amount of times they're putting the quarterbacks in running situations. And it's like, it's, you know, called runs, quarterback draws. Hey, reading this defensive, hey, we're not going to block this defensive end. If he crashes, hey, go run. And we'll have the safety blocked and you can go get 10 yards. So I think it's, you know, it's not like, you know, back when I played, if you ran, it was because even the running quarterbacks and the Michael Vicks, it wasn't a whole lot of quarterback runs. It was, hey, drop back and nothing's open. And hey, go run and make big plays. It's a lot more kind of design possible quarterback runs, but these guys can handle it. They're big guys. You know, Josh Allen's 255 pounds, and you know, Daniel Jones, you don't think of him as a runner. He didn't come out as a running quarterback out of college, but he gets a lot of first downs running the ball. And obviously you have the Lamar Jacksons and the guys who are very talented and fast and ran more in college. But you know, I feel like, you know, now some of these quarterbacks are running more in the NFL than they did when they were in college.
They're running more and getting hit less.
Exactly. Yeah. And you're protecting. Yeah. Obviously they're protecting the quarterbacks extremely well, maybe too well, in the pocket. So I know that's been a big issue. I'm all for quarterback safety and protection, but you know, hey, you still got to get tackled sometimes. That's part of the game.
Do you remember the hardest hit you ever took during the course of your NFL career? Is there one that just stands out to you to this day?
Yeah, my first game I ever played, regular season game. I didn't start. Kurt Warner started first game of the regular season in Philadelphia. We were getting beat badly, so I got in the fourth quarter. My first play, I handed off to Tiggy Barber, and he goes 80 yards for a touchdown. I'm like, hey, this is easy. This is easy. But then we get the ball back. We're down 28 or 35, and you know, there's 3 minutes left, so I'm kind of excited. Hey, I get a little 2 minute drive maybe to go down and throw my first touchdown. And so we get down there, we get about the 10 yard line, there's 12 seconds, and nothing's real open. I start scrambling to the right, I turn and try to reverse field and create some play, and Jerome McDougal somehow got behind me. When I turned right into him, and I just went flat, basically parallel to the ground. I think I fumbled. We picked it up and I ran out of bounds. There was a 10-second runoff, and you couldn't advance the fumble. And I think it was like, oh, that was a brutal hit. Let's just call this thing. Like, it's like they blow the whistle. Like, let's just let the clock run out. And I walked off the field, and you know, that was, you know, I remember Peyton calling me saying, hey, it's like, I saw that hit. And I said, the good thing is, hopefully that's the biggest hit you ever take in your career, and you stood up and walked off. So, you know, at least we know you can take a hit. Yeah, I guess that's a good thing.
Amazing that the most memorable you hit came in your first NFL start or the first NFL game.
Well, I knew I didn't want to take many more of those, so I had to learn my lesson. Don't reverse field. These guys are a lot faster at this level than they were at college.
Now the Manning cast, a lot tamer, a lot simpler, don't get hit as much. Who's been the most memorable guest you've had on so far, Eli?
I mean, we've had some great ones. I mean, Snoop Dogg is still my favorite. You know, he wished me happy birthday. I got a gold chain out of it. I got a Death Row Records gold chain, birthday present from Snoop. So, I mean, how do you get any better than that. So I think, but he was also just hearing, like hearing his love of football and him just reciting the Steelers from the 1970s, like offense, defense, he's named, you know, 12 guys right off his head. I mean, obviously he's, you know, a huge fan of football. It's been a important part of his life. So just hearing the stories of Condoleezza Rice and like the importance of football, like she is a football fan. This, you know, hearing those, you know, you see him in different fields and music or movies or politics. And yet, you know, they're watching games and on Sunday to sit down there and they, you know, it's a tradition and it's, you know, memories and to hear that come out in these people is really special.
Who puts together the guest list? Do you have any say into that? Or do you have producers that do that? Or
we have producers that help and we kind of get through, hey, we're playing, you know, this, hey, we got New England and Chicago. Like, hey, here are kind of some famous people that are New England fans or Chicago fans or from those cities that we know about. And then, you know, try to get a player, kind of a former player from that team or a current player that's maybe I got a bye week or coming off a big game. So, yeah, you have a little say. Some of it's personal connections that you might reach out and say, hey, do you want to come on the show? And, you know, yeah, I think it's a little bit easier this year. Last year when we were first getting started, we were kind of telling people, they're like, what is this thing? Like, do I want to come on this? Like, I don't know. I think now people know what it is and a little bit easier to sell them on the idea of coming on the show.
And is there still one ultimate dream guest out there that exists that you'd love to get that we could mention here that somehow they'd listen to the podcast and know that they're open and welcome on the Manning cast every time and could pop on there, Eli?
Ooh, I mean, that's tough. I mean, I think, you know, Peyton and I are both like old school movies. I think there'd be some sort of actor to come on, like a Steve Martin or a, you know, Bill Murray or you know, one of those type kind of old school actors would be pretty funny.
Well, Bill Murray is closely linked to Chicago, so he would be a natural guest for this Monday night, Eli.
There you go. You never know. You never know.
And Steve Martin, he's a renaissance man, that guy. I don't know how much he knows about football, but he knows about everything.
I think,
I'm,
you know,
sure.
He's got a lot of funny. He's been around. He's been around and very clever and funny. So he would come up. He would come up with some skit or have something to go around with it.
So now, again, you're known as the former Giants quarterback. You're known as the media mogul. Are we going to get to the point one day where you're tired of being asked about Arch's uncle? Is that going to happen one day too, Eli?
I hope that's, you know, that's what I become known for is, yeah, as Arch's uncle. I'm rooting for him. He's having a great high school career. I'm excited that he chose to go, you know, chose his college before his senior year so he can just focus on, you know, enjoying your senior year of high school, playing football with your buddies, guys you've grown up with your whole life. You know, to have it, you know, the goal should be going out there and trying to win a state championship. It shouldn't be planning for college or NILs or all this other stuff going on. Like, enjoy this time. This is a great institute. High school football is so special to so many people. And so I think he's doing that. He's a great teammate. He's a tremendous player. He's worked extremely hard. He loves the game of football. He likes the history of it, likes the X's and O's. So I look forward to, you know, going to Austin in the years to come and cheering him on.
As great as it is to be a player that accomplished, it can't be easy to be in that spot, to be a Manning in that city, to be under that much scrutiny where your highlights are being posted when you're in ninth grade, maybe earlier. That's a tough spot to be in for a high school kid. He doesn't grow up with a regular life. What did you learn about being in a similar spot that you would say or have said to him about being in that position?
I think what I learned and very similar, you know, for me, you know, I thought it was tough, you know, following in Peyton's footsteps, and he was 5 years older. So, you know, I wasn't in high school with them when he finished high school. I was in eighth grade and like coming into high school. And I think everybody assumes, oh, here's the next one. He's going to be the same and he's going to be just as good. And he's going to have the same attitude and same personality. And we had different personalities. And that's what I've I've told Arch, I said, you're going to be different from me. You're going to be different from Peyton. You're going to be better at things, maybe worse at other things, or you're just different at things. And so be true to yourself. Like, hey, worry about, you know, what you want to accomplish. Do it for the right reasons. Don't try to act a certain way because you think this is the way you should, or this is what, you know, one person thinks you should do. You gotta be true to yourself, because your teammates, they'll notice it if you're fake. They'll notice it if you're saying something just because you think you need to say something. Like, it's got to be sincere. It's got to be real. And I think he's done a great job of doing that, of not becoming someone that he's not, you know, being on, he's not on social media. He didn't go to a ton of camps to try to showcase of why he should be a top recruit. Like, he doesn't care about everything, all of that. He cares about his teammates, his team, winning games, you know, working hard to try to become a better player, you know, to try to win a state championship in high school. Those are his focuses right now, or that's his focus. And I think that's the right attitude.
By the way, you mentioned camps. It was another title I forgot for you. You know, essentially one of the owners, creators, originators of the Manning Passing Camp. Right.
Yes.
So there's another thing. Yeah. I mean,
camper. I was a camper originally. So
you were a camper.
Yeah. I started off as a camper in 1996 for 4 years before I became a counselor. And now I'm still a counselor. I don't have no ownership. My dad runs it, owns it. I don't even get paid. I get nothing. I just show up and sweat a lot and coach a lot of high school kids, the game of football, and playing quarterback and tell some stories. So it's always fun. It's just, you know, I thought when I retired, I thought, like, hey, maybe I want to get outside of football. And I've done some things a little bit outside of football, but it's just part of my blood, part of my life so much that I love it, that it's hard to get too far away.
But if you had gone out of football, if you had, what would that have looked like? And what would you envision yourself doing?
I think, analyst for ESPN. What's your job again? You know, I was
senior NFL insider. No,
insider.
Well, again, we're going to give you the extremely insider role. We are ready to give that to you right now on the spot. Get that done.
Senior. We got Mort's the super senior. I'll be like the junior. I'll be the junior insider. I'm the young guy coming.
Yeah, we'll train you. You know, we'll get your thumb speed up to tap. We'll put you through rigorous thumb training so that your hands on your phone could be moving extra quick. Mort's lost a little bit there. He's lost a little speed on the thumbs.
His thumb strength and speed is definitely decreased over the years.
It's down, but that's okay. We still love the guy. He's welcome to stay as long as you. But really, what would you have done outside of football? Is there something that would have appealed to you?
I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, I've kind of gone into the business world a little bit, and private equity, and learning about that, which has been fun and interesting. But of course, like the first company we purchased, it's a youth sports, you know, business. So it's like, I can't get away from it. It's just like everywhere I go, it's just, that's what I love. I got four kids playing all in youth sports. I'm coaching them in basketball, and I got a girl that's playing hockey. I'm like, what in the world?
Hockey?
Like, she's like, Dad, I got to learn how to skate faster. I'm like, why are you asking me? Like, have you ever seen me on skates? I don't have that answer. I got girls playing lacrosse and swimming. I mean, it's sports all over the place, and it's great. I'm loving staying busy, loving having my weekends home with my family, not having to travel, not having to prepare for a game, and just even when I was home, you know, watching film and kind of distance. So it's good to be all in.
And my last question for you, you grew up in the South. You went to college in the South. You now live in the Northeast. Obviously, you're staying in the Northeast. Your kids are established. They're playing sports. They're in school. You're not going to move. You must like living in the East, right? Is that something that surprises you? Because Southern roots are in you there.
Yeah, it does. I mean, I'm a Jersey boy now. And I'm proud of it. I think, I think growing up in New Orleans, I didn't know New Jersey was a state until probably my senior year of high school. But, you know, I think just having been up here 16 years, you know, I thought it was important when I played here to get involved in the community, be a part of it. And next thing you know, you have four kids in school and they're playing sports, and you've set up a life, and just all your connections and everything that you do in the summer, it's all kind of, you know, everything's in place. We've been in a good routine. And so, you know, we're here. We're in New Jersey. We've made great friends and enjoy the seasons and enjoy the summer when it's not 110 degrees and you know you just sweat constantly throughout the entire day. So the winters are long, but now hey, I got kids that ice skate and kids that ski. I've picked up skiing, so wow. I've become a Northeasterner.
Well, a Northeasterner who's a media mogul, who's working for the Giants, who's still a part of the passing camps, and Arch's uncle. A lot of stuff going on. Eli, I want to thank you very much for the time today. We'll look forward to watching you this Monday night on the Manning Cast, the Bears at the Patriots. Bill Murray would be an outstanding guest. I appreciate the time today. Outstanding.
Always fun. Thanks so much for having me on.
And that right there is an example of how thoughtful, professional Eli Manning is and why he shined the way he did for the New York Giants during all that time. He knows just what he's doing in life. He knows how to handle himself at all times. And he's just a great guy. He's just a great guy. And I really enjoyed talking to him. What a nice guy. What a thoughtful guy. What an entertaining guy, right? Who would have thought that Eli Manning would have the life that he now does? He could have done anything, but this is the field he's chosen, and he's done great work and will continue to do great work. All right, last week I mentioned on this podcast the travel issues. And I found out later in the week that the Delta flight that I was scheduled on was not going to have TV. And there was no way I was getting on another flight across the country, flying out to Los Angeles and missing first the Bills at the Chiefs and then the Cowboys at the Eagles. So we called an audible midweek, unexpectedly. We changed our flight to JetBlue, which we thought would have TV, but JetBlue also hasn't had TVs on the last two cross-country flights I've been on, and I've missed football games. But we rolled the dice with JetBlue, and I want to commend JetBlue for getting the job done this week. For the first time in three cross-country flights, I did have TV on the flight out west. I was able to watch the games. The flight was a few hours delayed, got in very late, but we did get to see football, and it caused me to revamp and revise the rest of my travel schedule from this point on. Over the weekend, no longer am I going to fly on Sundays if I don't have to. We're going to fly to New Orleans, Tampa, Indianapolis later in the season for Monday night games on Monday mornings. Don't care how early I've got to get up. Not missing more football games on Sunday where you get to sit back like a fan and watch the games and enjoy the games and see what actually happens. So shout out to JetBlue for getting the job done, revising the rest of the travel schedule the rest of the year to avoid those conflicts. Also, we mentioned last week, we would have our NBA War Room draft. I'm officially on board with Jason Tatum, with DeJounte Murray, with Terry Rozier, with Tyrese Maxey, with Christian Wood. These are some of my guys that I'm pulling for. Love the NBA. It's underway. It's an incredible sports time. We got the NBA regular season starting. We're in the middle of the NFL season. We got the trade deadline coming up. And oh, by the way, put me down for 2 weeks from now, Christian McCaffrey being moved. I think the Panthers will find an offer eventually that they do like and that they do act upon to where they trade Christian McCaffrey. So we'll have some action for the NFL trade deadline. We've got hockey underway. We've got all these sports going on, and it's a bevy of entertainment activities and options. Outstanding. Again, want to thank Eli Manning, half of the Monday Night Manning Cast team, for joining us today. I want to thank my great producers, Christina Buswell, Sarah Abbott, for putting together this podcast. I want to thank you, the listener, for tuning into another Adam Schefter podcast. Please join us again next week when we will be joined by the all-time great defensive back, the man of many words, the great philosopher himself, college football coach Deion Primetime Sanders, Coach Prime, in this space next week. Until then, have a great week, everybody. Be well and stay safe.